Then, recalling to whom he spoke, he said, "He is not ill, lad. But even if this were a fever or illness of the body, I do not know if our craft would much avail. It seems there is no savor in my herbs of late, and though I say the words of our spells, there is no virtue in them. That is like what the master chanter said yesterday. He stopped in the middle of a song he was teaching us and said, 'I do not know what the song means.' And he walked out of the room. Some of the boys laughed, but I felt as if the floor had sunk out from under me." The healer looked at the boy's blunt, clever face, and then down at the summoner's face, cold and rigid. "He will come back to us," he said. "The songs will not be forgotten." That night, the changer went from Roke. No one saw the manner of his going. He slept in a room with a window looking out into a garden. The window was open in the morning, and he was gone. They thought he had transformed himself with his own skill of form change into a bird or beast, or a mist or wind even, for no shape or substance was beyond his art, and so had fled from Roke, perhaps to seek for the Archmage. Some, knowing how the shape-changer may be caught in his own spells, if there is any failure of skill or will, feared for him. But they said nothing of their fears. So there were three of the masters lost to the council of the wise. As the days passed and no news ever came of the Archmage, and the summoner lay like one dead, and the changer did not return, a chill and gloom grew in the great house. The boys whispered among themselves, and some of them spoke of leaving Roke, for they were not being taught what they had come to learn. "Maybe," said one, "they were all lies from the beginning, these secret arts and powers. Of the masters, only the master hand still does his tricks, and these, we all know, are frank illusion. And now the others hide or refuse to do anything because their tricks have been revealed." Another, listening, said, "Well, what is wizardry? What is this art magic beyond a show of seeming? Has it ever saved a man from death, or given long life, even? Surely if the mages have the power they claim to have, they'd all live forever." And he and the other boy fell to telling over the deaths of the great mages, how Morrigh had been killed in battle, and Neregor by the Grey Mage, and Aerith Akby by a dragon, and Genscher, the last archmage, by mere sickness, in his bed, like any man. Some of the boys listened gladly, having envious hearts. Others listened, and were wretched. All this time, the master patterner stayed alone in the grove and let none enter it. But the doorkeeper, though seldom seen, had not changed. He bore no shadow in his eyes. He smiled and kept the doors of the great house ready for its lord's return. On the seas of the outermost West Reach, that lord of the Island of the Wise, waking cramped and stiff in a small boat in a cold, bright morning, sat up and yawned. And after a moment, pointing north, he said to his yawning companion, "There! Two islands, do you see them? The southmost of the Isles of the Dragon's Run." "You have a hawk's eyes, lord," said Arryn, peering through sleep over the sea and seeing nothing. "Therefore I am the Sparrowhawk," the mage said. He was still cheerful, seeming to shrug off forethought and foreboding. "Can't you see them?" "I see gulls," said Arryn, after rubbing his eyes and searching all the blue-gray horizon before the boat. The mage laughed. "Could even a hawk see gulls at 20 miles distance?" As the sun brightened above the eastern mists, the tiny wheeling flecks in the air that Aran watched seemed to sparkle, like gold dust shaken in water, or dust motes in a sunbeam. And then, Aran realized that they were dragons. As Lukfar approached the islands, Aran saw the dragons soaring and circling on the morning wind, and his heart leapt up with them with a joy of fulfillment that was like pain. All the glory of mortality was in that flight. Their beauty was made up of terrible strength, utter wildness, and the grace of reason. For these were thinking creatures, with speech and ancient wisdom. In the patterns of their flight, there was a fierce, willed concord. Aran did not speak, but he thought, "I do not care what comes after. I have seen the dragons on the wind of morning." At times, the patterns jarred and the circles broke, and often in flight one dragon or another would jet from its nostrils a long streak of fire that curved and hung on the air a moment, repeating the curve and brightness of the dragon's long, arching body. Seeing that, the mage said, "They are angry. They dance their anger on the wind." And presently he said, "Now we are in the hornet's nest." For the dragons had seen the little sail on the waves, and first one, then another, broke from the whirlwind of their dancing and came stretched long and level.